If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome, everyone, to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
And I'm BJ. Woo!
Excited. Yeah. No Eeyore shtick from you this week.
I'm BJ.
There it is. And this week, we're going to be talking about Slime Mori Mori 3, the third Dragon Quest game, which I've been playing quite a bit. BJ got it for me for Christmas, and then I was playing Treasures a lot back then, so I didn't play it immediately, and then got distracted by the DQ11 replay, and then now that I'm done with all that, I've been really digging into Slime Mori Mori 3 the last, like, 2 weeks around there. I've been having a lot of fun with it.
And you're playing it in Japanese, right? You haven't modded out any 3DS.
Yeah, I've been playing it Japanese version, and I know a fan translation exists, because that's, like, the first thing everybody tells me. Yep. And I hear great things about it, and it's nothing against the people who did the fan translation or the fan translation itself. Dragon Quest Slime Time interviewed those people, and they sounded like perfectly nice people and really thankful that it exists. But there's a couple of reasons why I'm not playing the fan translation, and one is just that I'm really scared to hack my Japanese 2DS. It's that liquid metal slime 2DS XL.
Yeah.
And people say it's safe, but I'm really scared about doing it, and so I just haven't.
Right. And I, you know, thinking about it, like, I've been thinking about modding mine too for a bunch of them. And I don't think you have to mod the Japanese one. I think if you mod one of your US ones, one of your North American ones, that you can play region locked games and still apply the patch. So if you're scared of doing the 2DS, the Pretty Metal Slime one, then you could probably do the American one that you may care less about or may have multiple consoles of, actually. You have more than one 3DS?
No, I have the 2DS XL, and then I have just a regular 2DS. I don't actually own a 3DS, like a real 3DS. I don't own one.
Oh, for some reason, I thought you did. I actually thought you got one from Jaden.
No, not a 3DS, no.
Oh, well.
No, he gave me his NES, like original Nintendo,
yeah,
and his N64 recently. But no, he didn't give me a 3DS or
I got you.
Like that. Yeah.
If I can get Jennifer's old 2DS, like the original, you know, red 2DS set up, I'm going to try. I may try to mod it if it ever starts working again. But I'm like you. I'm kind of scared to do it on the console I actually play a lot because I don't want to break it and lose everything. And because I really like it. I really love my little red 3DS. It's like my little red Corvette.
Yeah. And I mean, I've heard, you know, that the fan translation is great. I've heard that it's very easy to hack your 3DS, but, you know, I'm scared. And then the other thing is that I'm also extremely stubborn. I'm stubborn to a fault.
No.
And so once I get in my head that I'm going to do something or not do something, there's like no talking me out of it. And so I just decided I'm going to play this in Japanese, and there's no one is going to talk me out of it.
I know. It's true. Like I've probably mentioned this on the podcast before, but I don't know if y'all are aware. I think I have, but in case y'all weren't aware, Austin holds a grudge and will not budge off of things. And to this day, it's been 12 to 15 years since he will not use like what he calls the spaceship soda dispensers at movie theaters or restaurants or anything where you have the screen and you pick all the different kinds of sodas and the flavors and stuff. He won't use it because the very first time he saw one, he got really mad and couldn't get it to work. And to this day, he has still not used one himself. So no, he will not be patching his 3DS because he has set his mind to it. I've seen this in person. It's ridiculous.
It slighted me, BJ. That is what happened. That stupid spaceship soda machine, it slighted me. And it's just, it's unforgivable. And I won't. You're right. I will not. The like few, there's like the Moe's down here. A lot of the Moe's restaurants down here all have that kind of soda machine.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times we do takeout, so I don't worry about right. a drink there, because I'm like, I don't want to use that machine. but yeah, I just refuse to do it because I'm like, oh, I'm not touching it. Made me mad once. It's on yep, my list.
Once,
it's on
once my list. Like 2010. It's in Pulaski, Tennessee at Burger King, where you walked over. Also, you hate that Burger King because they wouldn't give you a Simpsons toy. So, I mean, it was just multiples on that one.
No. I hate that Burger King for many reasons. It's also on my list, but it's because of the incident. It's the incident with the spaceship soda machine. Yep. It's that one time they had the Treehouse of Horror toys. So I went over there. Yeah. It was really easy to just walk off campus and go there and get food.
Yeah, it wasn't even a block away.
I wanted some Treehouse of Horror toys. So I went and ordered some kids' meals to get the toy and everything for my lunch. And I got back and there was no toy in there. And I get it. I'm a grown man. But like I got it for the toy. And so I was really disappointed. And it's partially my fault for not checking. So there was that incident. And then there was the final nail in the coffin is that we swung through there. Like right after we got married, and I got terrible food poisoning from a chicken sandwich there. And so just between all of that, you know, it's like baseball. It's like three strikes and you're done, which is, I realize is more strikes than I gave the soda machine, but,
that was one of the strikes. That was one of the strikes. Was a strike. So.
Yeah. I've never been back. Yes, that was in the last straw was in 2012. I've never been back.
I gotta ask though, because yeah. I'm thinking about that when you say that. Was that Burger King like when y'all was like that your wedding night that you got food poisoning?
It was like the next night. Yeah.
Okay, the next night. Okay, I was like, because I knew that you got sick and that y'all had stayed in Pulaski for a little bit, so I was curious about that. Like, oh no, because my very first anniversary, I had a kidney stone. And so that was fun. So I was just thinking about food poisoning on yeah. your wedding night.
No,
so.
I got sick. No, I got, I realized this is way off on a tangent, but no, I did. I woke up at like 2 a.m. And was really sick. But I think it was because, you know, I got married in July and it was like super hot. And I'm sure I got really dehydrated because we had to get to the venue and be all dressed up for a long time. And like Grace, God bless her, decided that she didn't mind if we didn't wear our coats, if it was just we just wore the vests and the ties
right, yeah.
instead of like the full like suit, which was awesome because I think we would have legitimately died.
It was very hot that day.
It was hot, yeah. It was like unforgivably hot that day. And so anyway, I think that was like from dehydration. But yeah, the Burger King, so yes, I've been playing it in Japanese. And it's made for like some interesting moments from playing it because I don't know Japanese, as I've brought up many times, but it hasn't stopped me from playing games like DQ10 or
nope.
you know, Yo-Kai Watch 4 and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, I will persevere when I have to. And this one's a little tricky because there are sometimes where it's unclear where you're supposed to go. So I did get pretty lost at one point because. Like, it's not, like, the tutorial and everything is very self-explanatory. There's even, like, certain words that are in English where it's like, start, and things like that. But, like, there's not, like, Dragon Quest X, it's like, you know, I talked about how I memorized the menu and took notes in a notepad to, like, translate it to English and then
right.
just reference the notepad all the time. But also, a lot of times, your objective is on your map. So you can kind of see where you're supposed to go in DQ10. And Rocket Slime Mori Mori 3, from what I can tell, doesn't necessarily have that, if at all. Like, I haven't noticed that on the bottom screen at all. And so I've been running around, and, like, there was a time where I got really, really lost. And I was kind of going through the dialogue using context clues, wasn't trying to bother with, like, Google Translate or anything. And I just had no idea where to go. And I did eventually find out, but it took a little while. And there was like a couple of days where I didn't play it at all, because I'm also playing Trails to Azure right now on Switch.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one point where I just got frustrated and I went and played Trails for a couple of days, just completely and not touching my 2DS at all. And I got really close at that point to being like, screw it, I'll just play the translation. But
right.
but didn't didn't yet. And, you know, I may end up giving in and doing it, but overall it hasn't been too bad. I mean, it's not as easy. It's not as easy as like Theatrhythm Dragon Quest, where it's like, it's a rhythm game. You don't really have to speak Japanese or understand Japanese to be able to play this. But this one is a little bit more difficult, but I've brought up Google Translate a few times because, in the Dragon Quest X episode, I think we did, we talked about all the funny things that like Google Translate can tell you, where it's like, you know, it's incorrect, but still kind of worth doing just to see how weird it is.
Yeah, and absolutely.
One of the weirdest things that I found, I think it's a character. I think there is a character in Slime Mori Mori 3 that Google Translate thinks is named Cabbages. And because there's been multiple times where it's telling me to like take things to Cabbages, or like bring this to Cabbages, and talk to Cabbages, go see Cabbages, bring this to Cabbages, make the Cabbages. And I think one of the characters has to have a name that Google Translate is confusing with that, because like the first instance I saw it, it was just going and talking to the little yellow dragon slime guy with the goggles. Can't remember his name. But anyway, you go and talk to him, and then you just do like the tutorial where you're collecting sticks and throwing them over the rails, all the stuff that you did in Rocket Slime on DS. But it's walking you through that tutorial.
Right.
And so none of those items were cabbages, and the character is not a cabbage. And so I think there's something where it keeps bringing up cabbages, and I, for the life of me, can't figure out what it means, but it's made for some kind of hilarious moments bringing up cabbages.
I mean, and I think that that's great, because like the word cabbages is funny to me, and like bring this to cabbages, reminds me of the Avatar Last Airbender game that Jennifer and I tried to play called Oh My Cabbages. And it's the worst board game I've ever tried to play. And we get through it, like the instructions don't make sense. There are things that are going on, like the two rule books that come with it contradict one another. Like it's a mess.
Wait, the official title of it is called Oh My Cabbages?
Oh My Cabbages. Yeah. Because in Avatar, there's the cabbage merchant who they always knock over his cabbage cart, and he goes, Oh My Cabbages. And it's hilarious. And so there's a game based around this. And so this reminds me of the time, like just where it's ridiculous, where we drew a card that said, roll your cabbage to change the weather. And we both just look at it and we're like, what is going on? Because in nowhere that we've read did it talk about changing the weather. You have a cabbage die and you roll it. But it was when you said, take this to cabbages, it reminds me of roll your cabbage to change the weather, where we had to find like the one small paragraph in the rule book that nothing had ever mentioned that there was a weather mechanic. And that was supposed to be like overarching the whole thing as you played. It's the worst board game ever. But for some reason, the word cabbages obviously makes me think of it and rolling the cabbage.
Yeah.
Like, I take this to cabbage. Like, roll your cabbage. Take this to cabbage and change the weather.
Yeah.
I love how his name is Cabbages. But it's cabbages. Funny because it's cabbages, not just cabbage. Like,
it's cabbages,
his name
yeah.
is Cabbages.
But it is kind of funny because, like, the dragon slime, I can't remember his name because it's been, like, what, 3 or 4 years now since we both played Rocket Slime. And a lot of the characters from... are in this one from the other Rocket Slime games. I guess I should back up and say that. So anyway, I can't remember his name, but in my head, whenever I see him now, I think of him as Cabbages because of Google Translate. I just kind of, I was like, oh, I guess he's Cabbages. And so like, I think of that little yellow dragon slime as Cabbages now. Like when I'm just playing, I'm like, oh, there's Cabbages.
If you, what's going to be great is that you find out that his name isn't Cabbages and that it's somebody else, and you'd be like, no, it's not. That's Cabbages.
I could go look it up. Like, I have,
nope, don't.
I have the, you know, DS manual, and I think I have all the Dragon Quest strategy guides. So I think I have the Rocket Slime strategy guide downstairs. So I could just pull it open and find out or Google it because Google exists. But yeah, anyway, I don't know. In my head, he's Cabbages. And then some backing up for just a second here, because I actually had some fun facts I wanted to share at the beginning of this episode, and then the whole thing got away from me.
Yep.
But there's some cool things about Slime Mori Mori 3 that I wanted to bring up. Number one is that Sly Mori Mori 3 released on my birthday in 2011, which I thought was cool. November 2nd.
Well, happy birthday.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. I don't see many where it falls on my birthday, let alone something that, you know, I love a lot. So seeing that the original release date for this game was November 2nd, I was like, oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, I don't know why it always makes me feel good when I see something like that. Like, that's my birthday.
Yeah. Also, yeah. This was made by Toes. I think it's pronounced Toes, T-O-S-E, and which is a studio that I'm pretty sure I've brought up on the podcast before, but they've worked on a lot of past Dragon Quest games, and most recently, they worked on Dragon Quest Treasures. So they're also the ones that did Slime Mori Mori 3.
Right.
They've also worked on non-Dragon Quest games that I love. And this is really all just an excuse to bring up Scarlet Nexus again, because they also worked on Scarlet Nexus, which is an amazing game, and you guys should play it. I'm determined to see a Scarlet Nexus sequel sooner or later, and everybody needs to play it because it's a really fun game.
It is on the PlayStation Plus Premium if you have it now, so you don't have to go seek it out anymore. If you are subscribed to it, you can play it.
No.
I think it may even be one of the streaming ones.
Buy it. It's $20, and I need a Scarlet Nexus 2 to happen.
I'm just saying,
never going to happen.
It might. They still get data that people are streaming it and playing it.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope so. I would love to see a Scarlet Nexus sequel. But anyway, so Toes worked on that too. And if you look them up, you or anybody listening, I can guarantee you that they've worked on many games that you enjoy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
But yeah, for like gameplay-wise, it really doesn't feel too different from Rocket Slime on DS. Like the GBA version, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong here because I've not played the GBA one. But the GBA one had like the Legend of Zelda, like Legend of Mana looking areas where like you run around and explore and like collect your lost slime friends and open treasure chests and bring back to your village and all that, where you like throw them on the little like railroad car so you don't have to return to your village every time. Like, I know both the games had that, but I think the GBA version, like the first one, that's all it was. And then the second one added like the tank battle mechanics. I haven't played the GBA one, so somebody can correct me, but I think that is how it went. And so this still has that. Like, it still has the, you know, you're running around through different areas and, you know, you can pick up the enemies like you can in Rocket Slime on DS, and you can pick up items and things like that. So it has that. But the actual gameplay mechanic of like the ship battles that this one has, because this one has pirate ships instead of tanks. And which is really cool because it's right there in my bio and everything. I like Dragon Quest and old wooden ships. So this is a win-win for me. It's Dragon Quest with old wooden ships.
I mean, it does. That's kind of like you taking this to retire on a desert island kind of thing.
Yeah. And so not that they're all old wooden ships. I mean, you can actually customize your ship, which I think is really cool. And that's something that I've enjoyed. Like, I guess if I were trying to describe it like to you or people who haven't played it, it's kind of like the gummy ship in Kingdom Hearts games. But wait, let me finish here. But not as stupid. Like it has, you know how with like the gummy ship or whatever, like there's different components you can put on it and like different things you can tweak, like the sails or cannons and things like that. So you can make it look different and you can make it look really wacky if you want to. And you can collect items, and some of the items you can like craft to make stuff, or you can like even use that as like in Rocket Slime, where you can use it as like as ammo.
Yeah.
And the cannon, and like they do different things depending on what you cram in there. Like it has all that, but it's kind of like the gummy ship, but instead of being all like blocky looking and ugly like the gummy ship is, like this is, you know, I mean, it's a pirate ship and you're getting to customize it in your own way. So that's been fun going to like it's not really a garage. It's like a boathouse, I guess, is what you would call it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just your ship, like, sitting in the water and it's like, covered up. And there's, like, a dock going out there, and you can kind of customize it. And so it's, but yeah, I would kind of compare it to the gummy ship, but like better. And you can make it look really fun and wacky if you want to, and do different things with it. So that's been really cool. But like the actual, like combat and everything feels pretty similar. Like, you know, you're out there on the water, and instead of two tanks shooting out at one another, it's ships. The one thing that I think I do miss from that, though, is the puns like, you know, like with Rocket Slime DS, you had like Chrono Twigger and yeah. just like all these really fun, punny names for like the enemy ships. And because I'm playing in Japanese, I don't get that. And yeah. I'm sure using Google Translate, I haven't tried this yet, but I'm sure using Google Translate, it would give me a pun that does not actually connect with my like American brain. I mean, it might, but I doubt it. And so like, I do miss that kind of aspect of it, but overall, like the fighting and stuff is pretty similar. Like, it doesn't feel like too much of a leap forward from Rocket Slime.
Yeah.
Other than, I mean, you're on pirate ships, and like the platypus that's a villain, instead of being the plob father and being this gangster, he's a pirate. You know, he's in like pirate. He looks like Captain Hook or something.
But he's not cabbages.
Yeah, he's not cabbages. No.
Okay.
And so everything just feels kind of like Rocket Slime on DS, but like with a pirate ship aesthetic, which I'm fine with. I do not mean that as a complaint at all. But like the battles, you know, there's cannons blasting at each other. Rocket can run around and, you know, slap into stuff and collect things that land on the ship and put it in the cannon. You can even, you know, in Rocket Slime on DS, you could like leave your tank and run across the grass and climb into the enemy tank.
Oh yeah.
That was like my go-to strategy in that game. And this one has a similar thing, but because you're on the water, you can't, you know, just jump down and like slide across. So there's like a rope. Okay.
I figured it was like a rowboat between you.
No, it's like you know how like but like pirates, I guess, would shoot like grapnel hook onto an enemy ship to like be able to climb across it. It's like that kind of thing where you're like just walking, or I guess you're sliding because you're a slime. You're like sliding across the rope there to get to your enemy ship. And
slime ropes.
Yeah. And so that's been really cool. I guess like I'm not really sure at this point, like how close I am to beating it, because I have not really I don't know if people, I'm sure they have, but do like less plays or something of the full game somewhere.
I'm sure.
Like
I haven't
on
looked
YouTube
yeah.
or somewhere. But you know, I've purposefully like I've not tried to look at that stuff, and I haven't like looked at guides or anything online, because I'm sure there's like a walkthrough or something for the game. I've just kind of been going in, you know, with my just kind of outside knowledge of it already, and seeing how far I can get, almost as like a challenge to myself. But also, I don't know, there's something also kind of fun, like kind of going back to cabbages. It's like that cabbages thing wouldn't have existed if I had not been playing this game in Japanese.
It's true. Everything,
you know, and now, you know, we have this canon slime that we're just going to refer to as cabbages from now on. And you got a good laugh about it. And so
I did.
There's like some fun moments that have like arisen from that. And I've been enjoying it. Oh, before I forget, this was another thing. The map of Slime Mori Mori 3 is very interesting, because I assume, like with Rocket Slime or whatever, it's like Slimenia.
So you're yeah.
I mean, it's very apparent you're in another world, and right. Yeah, I mean, there's all these like talking, very anthropomorphic slimes running around, and but you can go to, there's actually like a world map, like when you get in your ship and sail around. Like this is a different mechanic for sure. Like you get into a ship, and it's just like, picture like getting into the ship in like Dragon Quest XI, where it's that kind of, it looks like that kind of scale, you know, like in DQ8 or DQ11, where there's just kind of chibi ship, you know, and you're sailing around to like land masses.
Yeah.
It's like that. So that is something different, I guess I should mention. that this game has. But the map, if you pull it up and look at like the bottom screen, it is just our map. Like, it's not even like the continents. Like, there's here's, you know, North America, Africa's right here. And it's not even like Dragon Quest III, where you look at the Dragon Quest III's map and you're like, oh yeah, this was clearly inspired by, by our own world. And that's funny, you know, like this place with all the Native Americans is supposed to be the U.S. and this Japan is obviously Japan and just things like that. Like, it's not even like that. It's like, you just look at it and you're like, bro, this is like,
bro, there's
map.
Florida.
Yeah. Like, there's like, you can just like see all of it. So, like, you should, I'm sure you could find that like by Googling it, or anybody listening, just like look up the Slime Mori Mori 3 map, because it's just our world. Which is weird, and I don't know if that's something that maybe is addressed in the game, in the fan translation, or like if this had gotten like an official localization. But it's just our world, and that kind of threw me for a loop the first time I saw the world map, because it is not a fantasy map.
Yeah, which is super weird. Like, I can't even think about playing like fantasy, like weird Dragon Quest game like that, and it being like, yo, I'm gonna go to Brazil and see what kind of slime pirates are there. It's like, that's not what I would expect to happen.
Yeah. And so, like, because I'm thinking, like, the GBA version, again, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure it was all just on one little slime shaped island, and the Rocket Slime on the DS, I'm pretty sure, is the same way. Where it all
I don't
just
remember
takes place.
Leaving.
Yeah, where it all just takes place on one little island. I can't remember if it's slime shaped, but I'm sure it was. But this is like, you know, massive world, and you can, you know, you're driving around, and then an enemy pirate ship comes up, and you do battle. In terms of the story, I'm playing it in Japanese, so I can't really address the story here, but it feels at least, like, very similar to the second game, the Rocket Slime that we got over here in English.
Okay.
Where it's just, you know, the evil platypunks come in and destroy your town and take your people, and you need to go around and recover some of the lost people, and you fight. And with the ultimate goal of going and eventually, I'm sure, fighting the Captain Hook platypunk.
Mm. Yeah.
And so, I haven't noticed yet. Like, I know in our Rocket Slime episode, you and I were talking about all the Dragon Quest VIII connections that Rocket Slime had, because like Dragon Quest VIII had just come out, and there was a lot of, there were characters clearly inspired by DQ8 characters, and there was even the staff.
Uh-huh.
DQ8 was a major plot point in Rocket Slime. And so there was just a lot of that stuff, the crackpot. Like, I haven't, with three, I haven't noticed those kind of, like, overt connections yet. I mean, like, there's still the, like, the Slime King, the King of Slimenia still looks a lot like, has the mustache and everything, where, not quite Big Daddy, like,
right, that's
Ragnar.
What I'm gonna say, is he just Ragnar?
Yeah, no, he doesn't have the Ragnar armor or anything, but there's, you know, all the variations of slimes that you've seen in other Dragon Quest games are on display here and stuff. And it's been fun. If anything, more than anything, really, it's just, it makes me sad, because this is actually a really good game and a really fun game. Right. And if you have the capacity to play it and you don't know Japanese and you have the capacity to, like, get the fan translation of it or anything, like, definitely go for it. Like, this is not the ideal way that I'm playing it. Like, I don't mean to say it's the ideal way at all, but like, highly recommend it. It's super fun. You know, you and I both adored Rocket Slime.
Yeah, it was
and
very
talked about
good.
How much, yeah, talked about how much we love it. And this one, feels a lot like that one. And it's on the 3DS. And I mean, there's about as much of a graphical difference as you would notice, like, say, from looking at the GBA to the DS version. Like, it's not a huge leap forward in terms of, like, you know, graphics or anything. Like, this one does feel like it has a little bit more maybe cell shading or something that I think maybe came from, because I'm playing on the 2DS, so maybe that's it's related to being able to play it in 3D, because I assume this one is 3D compatible.
Yeah, I'm assuming, unlike DQ8.
And so it's just really good. Like, I highly recommend it. If you're able to play it, check it out. I think it's a really good game, and it really bums me out. Like, this is, I kind of get this way about every Dragon Quest game I play that's not in English, where I'm just like, it bums me out that we've never gotten an official, like, English release of it, and that you just kind of have to jump through these hoops in order to, like, experience these games. And I don't know, not to end on, like, a huge bummer or anything, but it really is one of those things where I would like to see this game localized in a way where I don't have to hack my DS.
It that way. I mean, I wish that were the case. Like, I get frustrated and end up not finishing games that I start that are in Japanese. So I love starting them, I love seeing them, but I never have the wherewithal to be able to finish them. So this is one that I really wish had been released in English. That I would love for this to be one of the things that they, you know, drop a Switch port of, something like that, if they were able to. Like, I really, really wish that stuff like this would come out in English. But yeah, I'm sad that that I'll probably never get to really play this one.
Yeah, I don't know. I think hacking your spare 2DS would be a good way to go if you've got that extra one. Because
if I can get it to work, like, that was the thing. It stopped turning on after a bit because I think the bottom screen got hit, and I don't know why. It's just, but it's made it where it won't come on at all, and so I may tinker with it, take it apart and tinker with it a little bit to see if there's anything, you know, just loose inside.
Because that kind of, it has been my, like, hold, like, why I'm holding back here. Like, I know I made lots of jokes about being stubborn, and I am stubborn, don't get me wrong, but the biggest thing is just that I have the Liquid Metal Slime 2DS that I would be terrified of breaking and messing
right,
up.
Yes.
And then the other 2DS I have is an English language 2DS. And so it's like, if I want to play all my English language 3DS games, I got to keep that one in good shape.
Yeah, and, because you can't play English ones on the Japanese one.
Right. And so I'm kind of stuck there. Like, I don't have a spare one. I'm assuming now, I haven't looked lately, but I'm assuming the prices of 3DSs and 2DSs are probably outlandish at this point.
The ones that I saw the other day, because I was looking because of the whole 3DS shop going away, and I was looking to see just what a 3DS was going for, and they were still about $150 to $200 that you could get them right now. So they're not absolutely absurd. They're still roughly what you would have paid for them when they were new.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's a difference. Like, I didn't pay close enough attention to the difference in, like, a new 2DS or 3DS versus the regular 2DS or 3DS. And I'm not talking about quality, y'all. I'm talking about, or the condition, I'm talking about the actual title of it, you know, the new Nintendo 3DS XL. So, like, I don't know in the difference in prices there because I wasn't paying close enough attention, but they weren't crazy. Like, I expected them to be $400 to $600, and I didn't see any in that range, other than the Ultra Collector's Edition ones, like the Pokemon Editions and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I would just need, like, I wouldn't be picky. I just need a cheap. I mean, honestly, I think I would feel bad about trying to hack a Special Edition one, so I think just, like, an old, like, a really old Gen 1 3DS, I would just could hack it and play it in English, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll think on this.
Yeah, it's something that I would like to do, but it's not something that I am likely to do. So we'll see. Like, if I get the hardware and I'm able to actually, you know, have something that I'm willing to sacrifice if I do something wrong, I'll probably do it.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening to this week's episode. Remember, you can talk to us on Twitter at DragonQuestFM. If you want to chat with us on Patreon or help support this podcast, you can visit patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And just a huge shout out to all our patrons. We really appreciate all you guys. If you want to talk to me on Twitter personally, I'm over there at DragonQuestin.
And I'm on Twitter as at Professor Beej. Sometimes I'm on Mastodon at Beej@dice.camp. You can talk to us on Discord at discord.geektogeekmedia.com. And as he said, on Patreon at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye, y'all.